Welcome to another edition of Inside Network Marketing. This is April 14th, 2013. This is your host, Len Clements. And this is, I believe, show number 20. It's been a while since show number 19 because I have other things that I have to do to actually make an income. Doing podcasts and video blogs and so forth don't pay a lot, and Taco Bell and Cheetos don't make themselves. But we are back, and we're going to start doing these on a regular basis, hopefully on about a weekly basis, especially since I have the help now of a co-host.
Hi,
there's Kathy Wilcox. She is will be my co-host, and I've been looking for quite a while, actually, for someone to assist me in these programs, and there were several criteria that they had to meet. They had to be smart, they had to be funny, they had to have a Y chromosome to and agree with everything I say. So Kathy fits three out of four.
You won't say which one I don't meet.
Well, it's, you can probably tell by her voice that she's got the Y chromosome, or is it the X? I don't even know which. I think it's the X. But Kathy actually has, she's an experienced network marketer. She knows the business, and she's actually very experienced in sales. She used to be, at one time, a pharmaceutical rep for
Boo,
Merck.
She
came back from the dark side. Actually, yeah. She was a participant for another pharmaceutical company in doing double-blind, clinically controlled trials on drugs to get new drug approval through the FDA. So she's experienced with that, so I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point in the future, too. And, what else did you used to be?
I used to be a lot of things. I used to be the host of my own cable show, but I don't think that's where you're going. I used to be, well, let's put it this way. You are my favorite ex-husband.
Yeah, of all of them, I'm your favorite.
Of one.
So, no, you're tied for first of all of mine, of my two.
Since I've only had one, wouldn't that also make you my worst ex-husband? Isn't that logic?
That reminds me, like, the first girl I ever dated in high school, I found out later that she was gay. And she's, by the way, now the coach of my alma mater's softball team. But anyway, so she dates me. I'm her first boyfriend. And then she never dates men again. I guess for the rest of my life now, is that because of me or in spite of me? But we digress. Yeah, Kathy is my ex-wife, so we do have some chemistry here. It's very volatile and explodes sometimes, but hey, that'll be a great podcast.
Although
recently we can't seem to find a whole lot of things we disagree with. So it could be really boring.
I think we've just scratched the surface. I think it's just really below the surface.
Yeah. Well, let's dig into this and see how you feel about the subject I really wanted to talk about, because it's something I've written about recently, and there's some crap out there in the industry right now that's just driving me nuts. So I know that we wanted to talk about this a little bit. So let's see how copacetic we are on the subject of MLM products. And some of the claims that they make out there.
You mean they're not all true?
Some of them are a little exaggerated, yeah.
Really?
There was the one you and I were talking about before. There are several.
Oh, you're talking about the oxygen for energy?
Yeah, no, the canned oxygen.
The canned oxygen, right.
Yeah. This is a product. This is an actual MLM product. We're not making this up. An actual MLM product where they sell for, I think it's like $10 a can, $9.95 a can, and you get about 20 squirts out of it of oxygen. The idea is this company called Oxygen for Energy, real MLM company in the United States, and their attitude is, this is how they validate, they rationalize it, that we thought a few years ago that bottled water was absurd. Like, who would ever buy bottled water? We can get it right out of the tap. Well, someday they're going to think that about oxygen. You know, like we always thought that was ridiculous, but now everyone's going to have bottled oxygen that they can squirt in their mouth anytime they feel a little fatigued or something. Well, here's the difference. You don't get access to water everywhere. You have to go seek it out. Now, maybe it's just to your kitchen, you know, or the closest water fountain or whatever, but it's not everywhere. Like, if you ever get a little short on oxygen and you feel like you need a little more oxygen, all you got to do is take a deep breath.
Yeah.
You don't need to spend $10 for a can of it to squirt in there. Now, it's 95% oxygen, by the way. So it's, I think it's up to 50 shots, they said, a can, but still, I mean, so it's not quite as absurd.
Is oxygen explosive?
It is. In fact, you have to have a prescription to administer oxygen, but here's how they get around that. To be a medical product, and have to have a prescription with it, you have to have someone who's administering it. So if you administer it yourself, then technically it may not constitute, like the oxygen bars, for example, they're administering that oxygen. Technically, they're supposed to have a prescription to do that. How they get around that is on a state level, they see a lot of tax dollars coming in, so it's discretionary, and they just let them go, or a lot of these oxygen bars are just pumping straight air, just ambient air through those little different colored bubbly little containers. But yeah, technically, it's explosive, and you're not supposed to smoke around it and stuff like that. But here, there's, and I've actually checked this out, there's studies that have been done on this that it's very common knowledge, actually, that the body tells you how much you need to breathe. If you get a little low in oxygen because you've been working out or whatever, your body will tell you to breathe more. Now, if you squirt a bunch of oxygen in your mouth and you inhale it, your body says, oh, I've got a lot of oxygen right now, and it will cause you to breathe less. You will have shallower breath. So your body will just compensate for it. It's basically, in my opinion, based on how it appears, this is one of the most absurd, ridiculous scams I've ever seen in this business. Just selling canned air now.
Go ahead, finish your thought. I have a question.
It was on a different topic related to this. So, yeah, go ahead and let me know. You're allowed to talk, too. It's okay.
Oh, well, am I? Okay. Well, you can't see me holding up my hand, but, okay, this is a really stupid question, and I'm actually a certified scuba diver and actually a nurse. Well, actually, I do know this, but for those who don't, okay, what is the difference between air and oxygen?
Well, air is everything that's around us, which is about, I've heard, anywhere between 22 and 25% oxygen. I hear around 22% of oxygen. So there's hydrogen and a whole bunch of other stuff that's in the air, too. So it's air isn't all oxygen.
Right, right, right.
So this can, by the way, is 95% oxygen.
Okay. So 5% air?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay. All right, that's our chemistry lesson for the day.
Yeah.
And
by the way, a lack of oxygen is actually a medical condition called hypoxia.
This is true.
I would wonder, this is just a speculation, but if that you have that medical condition and this somehow prevents it or cures it or whatever, would that be a medical claim? The one thing that I do know they're doing that is a huge legal red flag is they do require you to purchase a product package of anywhere from $50 to up to almost $700. I mean, you go through their enrollment process, there's no way to enroll without buying product.
That's illegal, isn't it?
Well, it's not really illegal. It's just based on a lot of legal precedent. We know, you know, what you can and can't do in this business. And we know from all these legal precedences over the years that MLM companies can only require the purchase of an at-cost distributor kit. Now, they say at-cost because even the company can't make money from the act of recruiting. So if they make a huge profit on the distributor kit, then the company makes money by recruiting. Now, we all know that these, you know, $39 kits don't cost $39. There's a little bit of profit in there, and nobody cares. But if it's nothing but a kit for $395, like a lot of, for example, technology companies, energy companies, things like that that are doing, that's a red flag. Because clearly there's a profit built in there. But if you require distributors to buy product, then you have to recruit for that sales volume to occur, because only the recruit would buy that product package. You should always count sales to customers, to non-distributor customers, as a method of meeting that quota. It could be your own personal purchases or sales to others. But when you say you have to personally purchase it when you join, and you can't join without buying product, then there is no option to meet that quota by sales to others. You have to purchase it. So that would be a huge legal red flag.
Right. $700. What do you get for $700?
More air, more oxygen, more cans of oxygen.
So for everyone traveling to the Himalayas or to Mount Kilimanjaro, would this be a benefit or is it just a waste?
Yeah, no. Well, to take your question literally, yeah, you'd have an oxygen tank with you. But because, you know, there is a lack of oxygen. About either the top of Mount Kilimanjaro or, ironically, when you're underwater, it's about the only place where you're really not going to have air that you don't have immediate access to. Any place else, it's like these companies a few years ago that were trying to sell oxygen capsules. This one company that was called Our Garden, it used to be called Staff of Life. They sold vitamin O. Now, I don't know why they changed their name to Our Garden. I'm guessing because distributors like to make acronyms out of their company names, and Staff of Life.
Yeah. Let me guess. S-O-L.
Yeah, not a good acronym for your MLM company. But anyway, they vitamin O. FTC actually came in and told them, stop saying that that product will increase oxygen levels in your blood. The digestive system is not how that happens. There's another organ that controls that. They're called lungs.
Fine.
If you want more oxygen levels in your blood, you can just take a few deep breaths. Accomplish the exact same thing.
Amazing.
Now, my favorite is the Omega Wand. This is literally...
By the way, can I digress just for a second?
Sure.
Did I ever tell you how much it really... The way you pronounce capsules, you say capsules, like it's C-A-P-S-C-U-L-E-S.
Isn't that the actual pronunciation?
I believe it's capsule, because it's C-A-P-S-U-L-E. There's no C-H in there, which would
make... It reminds me of like a Family Guy bit. Cool Whip.
Anyway, people who say closet, same thing, just irritates me. All right,
okay.
I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay,
yeah,
Omega One.
Okay, this is literally a $300 magic wand.
I want one.
I mean, like, straight out of Wizards of Waverly Place. Straight out of, I don't know, whatever show has a magic wand. I don't know of any.
Harry Potter!
Yeah, there we go, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is it looks like a little stem of metal, kind of like a pen, little steel thing that if you wave it over your head, if you have a headache, makes the headache go away, wave it over any part of your body, will cause that disease, that ailment, whatever it is, to go away. If you wave it over your gas tank, you get better gas mileage. You wave it over crappy tasting food, it really makes it taste a whole lot better. It's just all these miraculous things. And by the way, you have to rotate the wand, not three rotations clockwise, not four rotations clockwise, 3.5 rotations clockwise.
That's critical. I understand that.
It's critical.
Okay.
So, and how they prove it is with all of these basically party tricks. Like, for example, they'll get a bunch of people together in a room and they'll say, okay, bring someone up in the front of the room and you're going to rate your pain from 0 to 10. Like 0 or 1, you can barely feel it. 10 is such excruciating pain, you got to call an ambulance. And
okay. So
you have to have a pain of 7 or higher to make it to the front of the room. So somebody comes up, there's YouTube videos of all kinds of this. Person comes up, yeah, I got this shoulder pain, it's about an 8. Where they wand it, 3.5 rotations clockwise. For a few minutes, now how does it feel? Oh, it's a 4. Ooh, okay, audience cheers and everything. Well, oh, really cool. Well, we'll want it a little bit more. Now what is it? Ooh, now it's a 2. See, it works. Well, that's of course a psychological ploy. I mean, subconsciously,
sure.
The person wants to get all the positive approval. They don't want to be a buzzkill and say, no, it's still an 8. So, I mean, even subconsciously, they're always going to think it goes down. It's a placebo effect. But here's the interesting thing. This magic wand that causes cells to return to source,
yes. It
reminds the cells how to return to source. That's their mumbo jumbo that they use. And they do this, by the way, because it emits from the wand about 100 meter long, 30 meters, whatever it is. It's about the length of a home plate to first base. Call it 90 feet. A very narrow beam of zero-point energy. Now, zero-point energy is actually considered to be a true thing. It's as simple as this. Cells are made up of molecules. Molecules are made up of atoms. Atoms are made up of quarks. Quarks are made up of blah, 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 blah. We just render everything down as far as you can go. There's no more smaller component part. That's zero point energy, which essentially means it's literally everything in the universe. It's all zero point energy. So,
that's very existential. That's very deep.
So if this wand emits a little beam of zero point energy out of it, by sending that beam into your brain or wherever your pain is, isn't that kind of like shooting a squirt gun into the Pacific Ocean to make it wetter?
I think that's an accurate analogy.
Yeah, so I mean, it's nonsensical on its face. But anyway, it would never remind cells to return to source that we can see. It only works when they're subjective things that someone's going to rate. Like, it never works, for example, on cataracts. It never works on psoriasis or acne. It never works on burn scars or anything like that. Anything that we can actually see it do it. Those cells, for some reason, don't return to source. Like, there's a thing on YouTube where they do this test with a lemon wedge. And, by the way, I've done a bunch of actually blinded, controlled studies with this. I had someone actually lend me a wand that I could do these studies with. And you take these lemon wedges, Well, first of all, you wand one of them, and then the subject sees which one you're wanding. 3.5 rotations over and over and over. They take a bite of it. Ooh, that's really sweet and lemony. It tastes great. Okay, now taste the unwanted one. Ooh, that's really tart and sour. And they can, scrunch up their face. And I've always wondered, why don't they wand them out of view of the subject? Then have the subject just take a bite of both of them and tell you which one's the wanted one. Because then it won't work, because it's a trick. Because what I did was, I did this test on 19 people. I videotaped them. And 19 people, I wanted them out of their view, then they came back and they could just pick whichever one they wanted and then tell me which one is wanted. What I found was that if they pick the right one, it's pretty much 50-50 by about random chance. But here's the interesting thing that it revealed. In 18 out of 19 times, whatever one they ate first was the better tasting lemon. The second bite of the second wedge was the bad tasting one.
Right.
For some reason, they know the first one you bite into is going to be the better tasting one. That's why they always hand you the wanted one first. So, but again, it's a very simple solution. Just don't show them which one you wanted and have them pick the one they wanted. But they never do it that way because they know it would be far more credible if they would do it that way, but they don't do it that way. So, because I've always wondered if they've really found a way to measure and even prove the existence of, because zero-point energy is theoretical, but scientists pretty much, the consensus is, we know it's there. But if they can prove the existence of it and can measure it, that would be a Nobel Prize-winning accomplishment. If they could control it and harness it in some way, that would be tantamount to harnessing and controlling gravity. It would be the single greatest scientific breakthrough in human history. Not only have they never done a single double-blinded, well-controlled clinical study of this wand, but the company here, it's an Asian company, but the U.S. entity of it actually temporarily shut down because it was insolvent. They couldn't sell enough of these magic wands that have all these miraculous benefits to even stay in business. Now, they're back now, by the way, but yeah, for some reason they, because I bug these distributors about it. We have these friendly debates and sometimes not so friendly. If you go to Amazon.com and look at all of the wands, you can see my review there and all of them angrily posting back at me. And what they always do is they never answer my questions. What they do exactly what a professor taught me in debate class in college. He said, if you can't diminish the credibility of your opposition's point, try to diminish the credibility of your opposition. Which happens in politics all the time.
All the time.
And that's exactly what they do. They never answer my questions. They go straight to what's my motive for asking the question. Well, I must be selling a competitor product or whatever. So I was asking, like,
it's a personal level.
If this really does what you say it does, why don't you bring them down to, like, a children's cancer center where there's stage 4 cancer to a burn unit or something like that? And have their cells return to source and be heroes and have it be front page news all over the world and sell literally billions of dollars of these products by doing that. Why don't you do that instead of wanding lemon wedges on YouTube or wanding sick dogs? People say, well, Len, there's all on YouTube. They come back with this a lot too. There's all these animals getting cured.
There's a
fish in there, and they wand it, and suddenly the fish starts swimming around, and there's this old dog that's lying there, and he's all crippled and old, and they wand him over and over and over, and he keeps looking up at the guy wanding him, and finally he gets up and walks around a little bit.
And bites him, the guy with the wand, saying, get that thing out of my face.
If I was a dog, I don't care how old and crippled I was, if you wave a stick in my face long enough, I'm probably going to get annoyed and get up and try to walk away.
Exactly.
But that's evidence that it works.
I see.
So they say, well, the placebo effect can't work on animals, Len, so you must be wrong. Well, no, it can't work on animals, but it can work on the human who wants the animal to be well. And there's this really, really sad one on YouTube where this guy's got a horse, and the horse is limping around the pen. And he wands the horse's leg over and over. And then the horse gallops around the pen, and he goes, look, see, he's like not limping anymore. And I'm looking at this going, yeah, he is. He's still limping.
Oh, he's still limping?
He's just
galloping and limping.
But the guy's, well, he's still kind of galloping, his gait's a little off like it was before. But in this guy's mind, he wants the horse to be well so much that he thinks he doesn't see him limping anymore. And the fish one, by the way, is really, it's a little goldfish, and they wand the fish for 3 days. 3 days. And then suddenly it's like the fish is in a koi pond and it's swimming around just fine, except the fish suddenly got about 4 times larger.
Interesting. Oh, so it grew too.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyway.
Wow.
So, but that's, yeah, the Amiga wand is my favorite. And how the FTC and FDA either one, because they make all kinds of medical claims. And I'm going to mention names here because, well, they deserve to be called out. But
okay.
Brian Tracy.
Brian Tracy.
The sales guru.
Okay.
Now, I like Brian Tracy. I've even met him in the past. Good guy. I love his stuff. I'm a fan of his. But he got involved with this company, and he had throat cancer, and he lists this Omega wand as one of the things on this list that could have contributed to his cancer going into remission. Well,
what are some of the other things on the list?
Oh, chemotherapy and radiation.
Oh, right. That
that's also on the list. Maybe that has something to do with it. No, but he actually says that this wand really works, and you should buy it. I mean, that's the kind of credibility that they have around the people that are selling this thing. I mean, they've got some big names that are really supporting it. It's really sad that these people are destroying, I think, in my opinion, their credibility by marketing a sham like this.
Well, do they get kickbacks from the company?
From what I understand, they're distributors. Yeah, but there's other big name authors too that are promoting this. But anyway, that's the Amiga wand. But again, the moral of this story is just, I mean, use some common sense. Use some rational thinking. Just ask yourself, if what they say is true, what would that entail? And in this case, like I said, it would be the single greatest scientific breakthrough in human history. There would be ticker tape parades on the way to this person who found this, getting their Nobel Prize. It'd be front page news all over the world. There would be lines blocks long, trying to get a hold of one of these things. The pharmaceutical industry would be having billion-dollar bidding wars for the right to it. There would be hundreds and hundreds of new jobs created to dig the 10-mile-deep hole for the pharmaceutical industry to bury it in. And
but, Len, you know what your problem is?
I'm cynical and jaded and...
No, it's that whole logic thing. You have way too much logic for this industry. And I just can't believe... I mean, I've never been the brightest bulb in the batch. Even though I did graduate from college, that is no prerequisite for a sign of intelligence. But why are there just so many gullible people? Do they just have so little to believe in that they'll just grasp any piece of crap science and say, wow, I want that?
I think it's a matter of wanting to believe. Especially, if someone's in pain and they want that pain to go away so badly, or especially if it's in someone else. Someone else has cancer. Someone else is sick. I mean, you want them to be well so badly. You're looking for some sign of hope. And when someone gives it to you and then someone tries to take it away, you're angry at that person. Don't take that hope away from me. Even though you're trying to save them from spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars. I mean, and I'm vulnerable to it, too, when you only listen to one side of the story. Because this guy, Stanislav Brzezinski or whatever his name is. He's a big controversial figure now that supposedly has found a way to cure cancer, and the FDA has been trying to railroad him for years. This is all over the internet too. I saw this documentary about him, and I walked away from it thinking like, oh my God, this guy, this poor doctor, he might have actually found a way to cure cancer, and the FDA is just doing all these horrible things to shut him up. And I was going to get in and like support him and promote this movie and everything. And I thought, well, let's see if there's another side to the story. So I went online trying to look for the opposing point of views and rebuttals and discovered that there's overwhelming evidence that this guy's a fraud. Now, if I put that out there like I just did, I'm going to get emails and be, oh, my God, Len, how can you say that? That's horrible because this guy's – you're an FDA shill or something like that. I guarantee you, anyone listening to this right now that's going to hit me for saying that about this doctor – you've only heard one side of the story. You've watched
that
video.
What's his cure? I haven't heard of it. What is this?
I actually looked at his technology. I even forget what the details of it is. But here's how the trick works. It's the same thing that Uri Geller uses. Same method.
Uh-huh.
Remember, Uri Geller had this show at one time where it was a live TV show. And he would. Uri Geller is one of these guys, like John Edwards and so forth. They're magicians, but they're really creepy slimeballs because they actually try to make you believe they're real.
Wait a minute. We're a major bone of contention. I don't think. Why are you calling John Edwards a magician?
Because he does tricks. He does cold readings and things like that. But he tries to make you believe that all of his stuff is real.
Well,
so,
what? Why is? Okay. We're gonna have to do another show because I don't know what you're talking. I've read his books. I don't think he's a scam at all.
Well, he's probably going to be a little off the subject, so we'll stick to Uri Geller, because he's one that, he's just like David Copperfield, except if David Copperfield were to tell you, I'm actually really doing magic, so pay
illusion.
Me to do
illusion.
These things and not really illusions. Yeah, they're real magic. So what he did was, he told everybody, go find a watch that stopped working, a broken watch or a clock. And of course, you know, there's probably millions of people watching this TV show, it's a primetime TV show, a few years ago.
Right.
And he goes, now, take that watch or that clock or whatever and hold it in your hand tightly and just rock. Rock yourself and say, work, 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 work. Of course, we're shaking the watch as you do this. Now, call in if your watch is working. And all of a sudden, all these calls start coming in going, oh, my God, this wristwatch hasn't worked. My father gave this to me 20 years ago and hasn't worked for the whole time. And now, all of a sudden, the second hand is moving. This is a miracle. Somebody else would call in. This clock on my wall, it stopped working, you know, a week ago, and it's wound up. And blah, blah, blah. I took it down, and I did what you said, and now it's working again. Well, here's the thing. If, let's say, of the millions of people watching the show, 100,000 of them went and got a watch. And by random chance, if you take 100,000 clocks or watches and shake them a little bit for a few seconds, there's going to be 1 or 2% of them are going to start working again for a little bit. Even if it's wound down, it's going to start working again for a little bit.
Right.
Those are all the people that call in. You don't hear about the 999,990 people that they're going like, what's he talking about? This thing didn't work. That didn't work. So on average, if you take all types of cancer, about 2% of them will go into remission completely on their own for no explainable reason.
Okay.
At any time. About 2% on average. So this doctor, he allegedly has over 30,000 patients. So if he's got, I think he said something like 36,000 patients, something like that. So if you've got 36,000 patients, on average, 720 of them, give or take, should go into remission completely on their own, just by random chance. Of that sample pool. So you've got 36,000 patients, about 700 will go into remission no matter what he does to them. But then you go take the best 10 or 12 examples of those amongst that group and do a video documentary about them. And, you know, look, the doctor said there was no hope. Here's how big the tumor was. Now the tumor is almost gone. The doctor's astonished, doesn't know how this could possibly have happened. And you got 12 stories of those, one after the other. My God, he's really found the cure for cancer.
I see.
The same theory. It's the same trick. So what you need to do is double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trials on thousands and thousands of people, which is all the FDA has been asking him and then demanding him to do all these years. And now, finally, he claims he's actually doing it. So, but what was his resistance? It's expensive, I get that. But he charges like $130,000 for each treatment. Multiply it by 36,000, I think he can afford to do it. So anyway, that's the thing. There's always some kind of trick behind it, whatever it is. Because again, ask yourself, if this were true, what would that entail? There's a product out there right now that's allegedly, for every year you take it, makes you go backwards in age 2 years. Not biologically, but literally you will anti-age 2 years for every year you take it. This product has been on the market for 10 years. Several companies are selling it right now, actually. A couple of MLM companies are selling it. But if that were true, then we would see professional athletes right now playing successfully into their 50s. We would see people that 10 years ago were 50 years old that would now look like they're 30. You know, wouldn't we? I mean, the average lifespan of a human being would almost double. So why isn't any of that happening?
Well, as you know, no one else knows, I'm not a huge fan of the FDA. In fact, my opinion, okay, so I'm not going to get sued for slander, my opinion, I think that there are a lot of cures, maybe not cures, but right on the edge cures for a lot of different things that the FDA will purposely hold back for years and years and years because no one's going to make any money. They're either natural or endemic to the body naturally, or you know, some other reason where some pharmaceutical company is not going to come along and make billions of dollars. So they'd rather feed their patients toxic chemicals, which will kill them, rather than look at some of these alternative things. That's my opinion. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Based on how they appear to you. That's what
based on how they appear to me, correct.
Yeah. Your opinion based on how they appear. So it's, and I do take a counter position on that, a lot more than most people would probably think I would do, but I've always said, you hold up the FDA x-ray, there are some dark spots on it. There's no question. The way they railroaded Ephedra out of the market was just, I mean, it was an obvious sham. So, and I know I worked with some people on the inside on that. I know for it is, that's a story for another day. But, you know, they tried to prove cause and effect between these adverse events reports and the use of Ephedra, and I know for a fact they couldn't find any. But yet they went ahead and took it off the market anyway, even when they failed to find a connection. And you're right to the extent that a lot of these natural products, you can't patent them. Because
that's
you can't
correct.
Patent something that, you know, just naturally occurs. So if you can't patent protect it, you're not going to spend millions of dollars
and
years to double-blind placebo-controlled trials
that's
and all
right.
that kind of stuff if you can't then secure the rights to it. So there's no
exactly.
money on the back end.
So they really, their goal is not to really help people. It's really to make them sick and sicker.
Well, they make pharmaceutical companies like Merck and Pfizer go through all of that process to make sure the product really works and that it's safe. So is it really the fault of the FDA that that's too expensive for someone selling white willow bark for pain to go through? It's not that the FDA is trying to get white willow bark off the market. They're just saying, look, Merck says their product treats pain. Well, they got to go through all this to make that claim. Your product
right.
white
then,
willow bark, well, you've got to go through all of that too. It's just, it's an even playing field.
Well, yes, but then there's not going to be anybody to market it because they're not going to make any money on it because you can just go to the health food store or whatever.
Well, that's why MLM companies are masters at this. That's why they got to use all the little clever kind of ways of saying it without really saying it.
Right.
You got to get the point across that there's a treatment to a disease here some way without overtly saying it to kind of get around the rules. But, you know, that's a video blog I just did a couple of blogs ago. We talked about this where the FDA and FTC both, they just go by the net impression of what you say. So even if you try to be clever and coy about it, they can, you know, they can still get you. But, you know, trying to keep
anyway,
it under an hour.
We'll show pharma and FDA someday because I have a lot to say on the subject, having lived it for many, many, many years and being disgusted by the whole lot of them.
I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about in future shows, but I was just going to say, I was trying to keep these under an hour. We're going to fail at that every time. But
oh, my God. So let's move on.
Yeah, it's an open-ended podcast, so if someone's heard enough of us, they can always just stop and listen to the rest later. There's only really one other subject that I know that you and I have talked about before, too, is homeopathy.
Yes, homeopathy. Yeah.
I'm just trying to pick like the biggest, most obvious kind of examples here. Homeopathy, if anyone isn't familiar with the theory of homeopathy, it's that if you take a substance, a medicine of some kind or whatever, and you dilute it enough times, the more you dilute it, the more powerful and potent it becomes. So if you see on a bottle of a homeopathic product, it might say 30 mg. What that means is, I think M is Roman numeral for 1,000. Yeah, C is 100, M is 1,000. That means it was diluted 30,000 times. What that means is, imagine you have an ounce of that substance and an ounce of water. You mix them together, that's one dilution. You take the resulting substance, 50% water, 50% solution, take an ounce of that, mix it to an ounce of water, the resulting substance is the second dilution. Take an ounce of that, mix it with water, there's the third one. Do that 30,000 times. It becomes more and more potent. The more you dilute it, the less of the active ingredient that's there, to the point where even if you dilute it millions of times to where there is not one single molecule of the original substance remaining, it now becomes, because of the resonant water memory, the most potent of all. So it's basically pure water.
Right.
Now, there's been all kinds of counter arguments made to this. It's all over the internet. And the biggest homeopathy fans I know, as soon as you present all this other information to them, come back and go, wow, you know, I had no idea, I feel so foolish. So anyone out there right now who's a fan of homeopathy, just look at the other side. When you look at one side of the story, it's always going to be lopsided. So, for example, there was this group of doctors, I think it was in the UK, where they all decided they were going to get together and commit mass suicide on national television.
Cool.
Yeah, so they took, I think it was arsenic, and they diluted it like thousands and thousands of times. So based on homeopathy, the resulting solution should have been the most potent form of arsenic on Earth. And then, of course, they all drank this homeopathic arsenic product on national television, and, of course, none of them even got sick. So, no, it's a ridiculous premise on its face. The original tenets of homeopathy was based on the, you know, like treats like. Like, you know, when I was a kid, my dad gave me this little capsule, which he was smart. He never told me what anything was that he asked me to put in my mouth until after I did it. Like the first time he ever brought in some supposedly quote-unquote fried chicken. I just did air quotes on a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, and I ate it, and then he told us it was frog legs. Because we wouldn't have eaten it first if we would have known that.
Right,
and
I
just go, yeah, it tastes like chicken. But then, so I took this little brown capsule, I ate it, and then he told me that that was poison oak. Like, Dad, you just made me eat poison oak. Yeah, so now you won't get it. And even as a little kid, I thought that was ridiculous, but, well, I never got poison oak again in the rest of my life. And I used to go out in the hills of my house and play in poison oak. So that I get. I believe that's true. But that's not what homeopathy is anymore. And homeopathy, in general, I think is just one of the most obvious, ridiculous scams, but yet it is a multi-billion dollar industry.
I don't understand where they find these people. It's like, are these the same people that appear in Jerry Springer? Because they sound the same, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I just can't believe there are that many gullible people out there.
And here's the thing. This is the difference between common sense and intelligence. Because I know in my personal life, some of the most intelligent people I know believe in homeopathy. The owner of an MLM company, who is one of my best friends, absolutely believes in homeopathy 100%, and he is one of the most smartest, brightest guys that I've ever met. So, like, if you were to apply intelligence and common sense, two completely different parts of the brain will light up on an EKG. It's not the same thing. So that's why I don't put a lot of credence in IQ tests. People always say, oh, Len, keep bragging about his IQ and he's in Mensa. No, I don't brag about it. The people that think that means something, yeah, I listed it on my resume. That's it. That's the only thing I've ever said. Anything other than that, I say, I don't think it means a whole lot. Because common sense is so much more important than intelligence.
And more rare.
Yeah, and it is. Plus, I went to some Mensa meetings. I want to digress here just for a second. You know, when you take the Mensa test, you have to finish in the top 2% of all scores.
Okay.
That's not the top 2% of all the people who've taken the IQ test. It's the top 2% of the scores of all the people who took the IQ test to enter Mensa.
Oh, really?
So I'm in the top 2% of all the people that thought they might be smart enough to get into Mensa, not the general population. So when I got into Mensa, I thought, man, I'm pretty impressed with myself. I'm in the top 2% of that group. I must be a smart guy. Then I went to the local Las Vegas chapter of the Mensa, met who I was in the top 2% of, and let's just say I'm just not so impressed with myself anymore.
Really?
Goofiest bunch of people I've ever met in my life.
Well, they must be like very nerdish and go to Comic-Con and things like that.
It's, you know, surprisingly not, but it's, again, this is a common sense thing. It's, you know, we did this one little exercise about, we ask why about things and try to come up with solutions to things. Like I brought up the one, how come on an airplane, the window shade, you always pull down, right? But you pull up the window shades only on the seats on the wing. You ever notice that?
Okay,
the window shades, you have to pull them up to close the window if you're on a seat that's over the wing.
Really?
Every other seat, you pull them down. So
okay.
We ask, why? Why do they do that? And one guy suggested, well, the plans were upside down, or they just built them wrong. On every plane from every company.
Genius!
Yeah, now, I my theory was, so you would block the reflection off the wing.
Oh!
Pull a shade halfway down, and the reflection off the wing could still be very bright. Nope, they weren't buying it. That's silly, that can't be it. Now,
the best one was,
we don't see this a lot now, but you used to see on stoplights, there was a little cylinder that would extend out from the light. And it was never a complete cylinder. There was always a little gap at the bottom of it. So why is that? Why do they have that gap at the bottom of the cylinder? Somebody else brought this one up. And one woman suggested, so water won't collect in it? But I said, yeah, but all you got to do is give it a 1 degree downward tilt, which they all have because they point down, you know, to the intersection, and 1 degree tilt, and you won't have any water in it. Another guy said, maybe it's so if you pull too far into the intersection, you can look up and still see what color the light is. And I didn't mean to be facetious or sarcastic, but I was when I said, but light can come from a sun 100 trillion light years away from us and reach to here. I'm pretty sure it can make it to the end of that cylinder. Didn't say it exactly like that, but pretty close.
Your logic again.
I was not endearing myself to this group, by the way. And then I brought up my theory, so birds wouldn't build nests inside them?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
No, can't be.
No?
That can't be it.
Well,
no,
so they pretty much
were all going with the water collecting one. Anyway, that's what I'm in the top 2% of. Yeah, so now I'm not so impressed with myself anymore.
Well, would you please ask at your next meeting why there are Braille instructions that drive up ATMs? I still have never gotten an answer to that, and that's been bugging me for, I don't know, 20 years or ever since I brought it up to you the first time.
Yeah.
That's a very scary thing to me.
We're getting way off subject here, but I actually asked a teller at a bank that once.
But they
said? They said because some people can be legally blind and not be able to read but can still drive. They can see far away enough to drive, but they can't see close up. I'm not sure that's true, but
okay. Well, anyway, we're digressing, so let's get back on track.
The last thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, every April Fools for the last few years, well, every other one sort of. I didn't do it this year because I just did it 2 years ago. I do this fake product game, and
have fun.
What I want to do is for this show, I'm going to give you the products. And the next show, we'll tell everybody what the answer is. Okay. Now, here's how it works. I'm going to give you 13 products and a brief description.
Okay.
One of them I made up. 12 of them are real. Now, usually when I do this, and for the long-time subscribers to Markwave Alerts and so forth, you probably already know the answer, so please don't put this out online and ruin it for anybody else. But for anyone who has never played this game before, please email us. Email me to mwave1@cox.net, the number one, or insidenm@cox.net, either one. We'll get it to me.
Okay.
But email it or put it on my Facebook page or whatever, and tell me which one you think is the right answer. And by the way, I always get this kind of feedback. Len, you described it wrong. You meant 12 were fake and one was real, and you wanted us to find the real one, right?
Contraire.
No. 12 of them are real, I swear. I'm not even exaggerating or embellishing them. 12 of these are real. Only one I made up. Okay, here we go. And you can play along, too.
Okay.
Number one, sound wave gel. It's a topical gel that interacts with your body's energy field to assist in the body in healing itself. Okay? It infuses the body with high energy sound waves, inaudible sound waves. This actually gel does this. Number two, oxygen supplement. Now, we already tipped our hand on this one, but this actual pill, this capsule, will help introduce more oxygen into the bloodstream. Number three, electrical matrix aligner. They say molecules and atoms are made up of electronic charges. Therefore, we should not focus so much on the chemical nature, but the electrical nature of our bodies. These nutritional products, quote-unquote, align your body's electrical matrix. Okay, these are products with their life energy still intact. So they align your electrical matrix and aligner.
Okay.
Number four, luminescent blood. It has been researched in Japan as showing that harmful bacteria and viruses are inhibited by certain spectrums of light. So they can introduce into the body these perfectly harmless sulfates and phosphates and so forth that will resonate with this particular spectrum of light. You know, they glow essentially. Thus killing or inhibiting these antibodies. I mean these bacterials or viruses. And it helps the body produce more antibodies as well, too. Number five, antibody trainer. Okay. Bacteria and viruses are becoming more resistant to antibiotics, they say. So this product, based on chicken eggs, They basically put human viruses into chickens, so the chicken antibodies will be trained to recognize these human viruses and fight them. Then, when you eat the eggs from these chickens, these antibodies go into your body, and they're already trained to fight human viruses. So
wow.
Antibody trainer from chicken eggs.
Okay.
Number six, shoe insoles. Acupressure therapy, that where these rubber shoe insoles have strategically placed bumps on them that will massage the bottom of your foot in certain ways to cure various diseases. Okay, if you have cancer, you wear a certain insole, and you know, if you have arthritis, that's another one. And based on the way it massages the bottom of your feet, it can cure these diseases.
Okay.
Number seven, amazing crystals.
Amazing.
Amazing crystals, microscopic crystals that will cause water to freeze at room temperature. It'll increase the power and mileage of your car engine. It'll clean laundry for up to 7 years without laundry detergent. And it'll cause skincare products to work 85% better if you have these little amazing crystals in your product.
Okay.
Okay, number eight, Death Bonus. This is an MLM company that sold life insurance policies where you named in all but one of your policies, you can buy several, all but one, you named the MLM company as the beneficiary of the life insurance payoff. The idea being that 0.8% of the population dies every year, and if they have 100,000 distributors with life insurance policies with the company as a beneficiary, then they have huge payoffs every year, and that's how they afford their comp plan, which is a company where attrition is actually a good thing.
So you want your distributors to die?
Right, yeah. You go to the national convention, there's 10,000 people in the auditorium, lock all the doors. And
feel the love.
Oh, man, you can make a killing.
Yeah. No pun intended. Exactly.
Yeah. Number nine, age-reversing capsules. The human body naturally sends longevity signals to the brain that tells your brain it's growing younger. So if you can amplify these signals, you can turn your biological age backwards, where a 50-year-old becomes 34 years old in 6 months. Number 10, sour milk perfume. Okay, you buy a package of milk culture, you grow it in your refrigerator, you wait till it turns sour, and you send it back to the company. They use that, then, to make a perfume that was once used by Cleopatra. Okay, number 11, God's soap. This is a cleaning product that, if you bathe in it, depending on which soap you use, it can cure various diseases. And the originator of this product said that he discovered it by being jostled awake at night with no one else around him and woke up, stood up in his bed, and saw written in light on his bedroom wall the formula for these soap products. God had given him the formula for the soap products.
Good for God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, planes fly into buildings and stuff like that. God kind of sits back and watch. But, man, we need another soap formula. He's going to get actively involved. Number 12. Dilution solution. This is where the more you dilute it, the more potent it becomes, to the point where there's nothing left in it, and it's the most potent. Well, you already know that one because we just talked about it. So
yeah.
13, you get two freebies in this one.
Okay.
Number 13, asteroid juice. A large asteroid exploded over Siberia in 1908, leveling hundreds of square miles of trees, killing all life, even microbial life, within the blast zone. But soon after, various exotic forms of plant life began to grow within that area, including never-before-found fruits. Then this fruit possesses these amazing curative qualities that came from an asteroid.
Okay.
So, real quick, just in summary, sound wave gel, number 2, oxygen supplement, number 3, electrical matrix aligner, number 4, luminescent blood, number 5, antibody trainer from the chicken eggs, number 6, the shoe insoles. Number 7, the amazing crystals. Number 8, the death bonus. Number 9, age-reversing capsules with the longevity signal amplifiers. Number 10, sour milk perfume. 11, God's soap. Number 12, dilution solution. Number 13, asteroid juice. 12 of those are real. Only one is fake. That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. This is
that's
the network marketing industry today.
That's astounding to me. I'm at a loss. I will tell you what I think, if you want to know, what I think is the false one.
Okay.
The true one.
Okay. For anyone who's listening to this right now that doesn't want to know the answer.
Oh, no, the false one. I'm confused. I'm confusing myself. 12 are true. At
Look,
13,
12 are true and 1 is false.
Okay,
okay, so stop the podcast here. Send us what you think is the false one before you get the answer. Don't cheat.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. And then, Kathy, you tell me which one you think is the fake one.
Well, I wish all of them were true. You know, I mean, I wish all of them worked. I know they're all trying to make money with these things. I wish all of them, like especially the age-reversing one. But I just really, the whole sour milk perfume thing just kind of turns my stomach. And it just doesn't, no.
Yeah, that's interesting because that is one. I've done this, obviously, like I said, a few times before. That's the one that is amongst the two or three that get the most votes.
But obviously, that incorrect.
That one, the antibody trainer, the death bonus, and the God soap.
God soap, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Asteroid Juice doesn't get a lot of votes because it's a fairly prominent company that people hear about a lot and they know the story. But, yeah, but those are the ones that typically get the most votes. So I'll give everybody a little hint. The actual fake one rarely gets a vote. It just sounds too real. Or I guess real,
yeah.
It sounds too much like what an MLM company would actually sell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said I was going to say this next time. I'll go ahead and give you the answer. But, again, please don't cheat. Tell me what you thought the answer was before you hear this. The fake one was the luminescent blood.
Oh, that one sounds really cool.
By the way, the sour milk perfume, that was called Culture Farms.
Okay, Culture Farms.
Yeah, that was several years ago, back in the 70s, I think it was, actually. But it's a fairly well-known, it's kind of a landmark legal case. They were shut down for being a pyramid scheme. FTC got them.
Oh.
But understand this. The God soap thing, God writing the formulas on the bedroom wall, the asteroid juice, the chicken antibodies getting trained and all that, those are all real. The death bonus, that was called Platinum Associates.
Jeez.
Yeah, AG shut them down too. But no, that was a real MLM company.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
You know, next time, there is something I still want to talk about a little bit more about products because the MLM company keeps going through these major trends. There's always one or two product categories that are the big boomers, you know, the big million-dollar producers. In fact, there's a chart I'm going to put below this on my website. You can see it there. Where you can see, like, back in the 80s, you know, it was diet shakes, you know, Herbalife. They were the first ones to use the, you know, lose weight now, ask me how buttons and so forth. Water purifiers were big popular things, water and air purifiers, late 80s. Then we went through the, you know, the Kytosan, you know, the weight loss product, early 90s. And we had the Aloe Wars back then. Then we had the aminophylline thigh creams. Then we had pycnogenol, the antioxidant, which is the best way to get it, grapeseed or pine bark. It was like, you know, Quisp or Quake. You know, that was the... Boomers will remember that analogy.
Yeah, well, I have a different theory on that, but that's okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Grape cedar pine bark, which is the best source of it. You know, then there was all the Ephedra products, and there was colloidal minerals, and who had the best one of those? And then we had healthy coffee with Ganoderma. That's still kind of in play. But, of course, the last few years, exotic functional beverages, what I affectionately refer to as jungle juices. That's about 02, 03, you know, but now we're going down the downside of that bell curve. The jungle juice craze is ending, and now we're moving into what? Rhetorical question, but what's the next big thing? So, subject for the next show, anyone else out there that they think they know what it is, what's the next big thing, the next big billion-dollar market in this industry, you know, after the juices, what is it? Give me your theory. Let me know what you think. So, Kathy, that's a homework assignment for you, too. You know, next
goody.
Show, we'll talk about, you know, what we think, that where this industry is going, what the next big thing is. So,
well, based on these fake product tests, I think the sky's the limit.
Well, I just, I know I'm going backwards here. I'm trying to wrap up the show, but my mind's just flooded with all these examples. There was, I didn't put it on this chart, but at one time, back around the early, mid-90s, there was, the big hot thing was aphrodisiac products based on green oats.
Green
oats? The green oat craze, yeah. Increases the libido, they said. And the theory behind this was this farmer realized one time that all of his animals on his farm would become more sexually active only when the plants were green.
Huh.
When the oats were green. So green oats must be an aphrodisiac, or it must be a libido enhancer. And I'm thinking, what season of the year do oats turn green? That might be spring?
Yeah.
Every animal species on Earth becomes more sexually active? Maybe it's the season, not the color of the plant. It's just my theory. I don't know. I'm doing that logic thing again, you know.
Wacky. You are so wacky in your thinking. You know, the perfect industry for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding. JK, LOL.
Well, I know that we wanted to talk a little bit about Zeke Rewards and kind of the aftermath of that. I'm probably getting more requests right now to do some kind of commentary or review of Lioness and Empower Network. Those two companies more than every other thing out there combined. So,
well, are we going to talk about that next time?
Yeah, next time we'll talk a little bit about Lioness and Empower Network and a little bit about what's going on with the Zeke Rewards and kind of the aftermath of that, because, of course, that's gone now, but there's still a lot of chatter out there about it. So, yeah,
is that like an MLM Armageddon or something?
It's Zeke Rewards was a penny auction where the SEC shut them down August of last year and hit them with they got the hat trick, the trifecta, the triple, whatever thing means three. They hit them for being an illegal pyramid scheme, a Ponzi scheme, and an unregistered security, all three of them. But I think they absolutely were a pyramid, were probably an unregistered security. I personally don't think they were a Ponzi. But anyway, as far as the SEC goes, only one out of three has to be true for it to be a righteous kill. It was.
All right,
so that's it. Any other subjects you all would like us to talk about, please just send them on over, and we'll try to add them in, and we'll try to keep these going, like I said, about one a week now. I also, by the way, will be doing some interviews coming up into a section of the show we're going to call The Kitchen, as in if you can't stand the heat, stay out of. So whoever comes in to be interviewed knows that there's no question off the table, because there are some people out there, I do have some tough questions I would like to ask. Most of them will probably decline. But I already know of a couple people I have some tough questions I'd like to ask, owners of MLM companies, that have, I understand, agreed to come on, to come into the kitchen. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you posted on that as well, too. So anyway, anything else that you'd like to say before we wrap up?
It's just been a blast and a half just spending this time with you and learning more about what's going on out there, which you are definitely an expert on. And I am not, even though I am involved and know most of what I know about network marketing because of you. So, yeah, this is great.
Okay, well, cool.
And we'll see who gets eliminated from Dancing with the Stars.
It's we were going to do a little, like, 5-minute Dancing with the Stars thing at the end, because that is one of my season passes on TiVo. It's, I was only hesitant to do that because I'm having a hard enough time right now, to tell you the truth, trying to convince people that I'm straight, because I'm a 55-year-old as of yesterday, childless bachelor, where I lived in the Castro District of San Francisco for 6 years, where I bred Persian cats as a hobby, and I have season passes on TiVo to Glee, Dancing with the Stars, and Army Wives.
Yeah, you're not helping your cause, Lynn.
I know. So don't do the math. It won't add up.
No, it won't end up. But
I know. I watched Army Wives because I got a huge crush on Bridget Brana, but Catherine Bell. But they're not buying it. So it's
okay. Not gay. All right.
Remember,
take it from
coming,
me.
Coming from my ex-wife, folks.
That had nothing to do with why we got divorced. Not even remotely on the radar screen. So not gay. I will have that written and notarized if you wish.
One more.
Not gay.
Absolutely.
Not gay. Blaming
okay.
Heterosexual.
Not gay. Okay.
Totally straight.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong. I'm pro choice and gender relationships.
Absolutely.
But he's definitely playing for the straight team.
Okay. So anyway, just to wrap this up, I'll just say, go Valens and Daya.
Fraud, that plant, that scam,
no,
that ringer,
she is not a professional dancer. She only plays one on TV.
She's out.
So who are you rooting for?
Well, the one I was rooting for got eliminated last week. I love Lisa.
Yeah.
Because she's so British and she's so wealthy and I love her little dog.
You gotta root for Andy Dick though, right?
And I'm Dick all the way.
Yeah, I love Dick. Well, I love Andy.
You love Dick?
I tried
to crush that rumor.
I know, I'm digging my hole back in there. So, I actually like him, too. Good comeback story. But
He's a very good...
And you already know my theory about why Zendaya? Because, you know, to play a professional dancer on TV, don't you kind of have to be a professional dancer? I kind of get that. But here's the thing. First of all, she's cute.
I'm over her. Totally.
You know, and I say that only, you know, considering, you know, if she were 10 years older and I were 10 years younger, that would still be creepy. But anyway, Val's brother, Max, they ask him to take the season off, right? Because they probably got a little too much. Max kind of maxed out.
Yes.
But Val, his brother, they're close. They're tight. And Val's going to go, wait a minute. You're going to give my brother the boot. I'm out of here. You're going to lose both whatever the last names are that are all consonants.
Jermakowski.
There we go. And then the producer said, no, Val, we're going to hook you up, man. We're going to give you a professional dancer.
Yeah.
So you'll win this season for sure. So hang with us.
Right.
And then Val saw he saw mirror balls in his mind and said, okay, yeah, I'll hang out under that deal. That's my conspiracy theory, and I'm sticking to it.
I believe that. And actually, Max is going to be on the show tomorrow night, so that will be interesting.
Is he?
He's going to be a guest dancer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm giddy. Okay.
Do not say that word if you're trying to convince people you're straight, okay?
All right. So are we actually done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. Folks, again, see you here next time. Same channel, same time. And again, let us know what you want us to talk about. We'll try to include it in all of our rambling. And this is Inside Network Marketing. This is Len Clements and Kathy Wilcox. And thanks for hanging in with us and indulging us for all this time. And we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.